जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
So this is a famous mantra that is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Śrīla Kṛṣṇadasa Kaviraj Goswami, who has written the authorized biography of Śrī Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, as we know, he appeared more than 500 years ago in West Bengal, in Navadvip, actually Śrī Mayapur Dham, ISKCON Hare Krishna temple there, is situated just nearby the Yoga Pit, which is the place that Lord Chaitanya appeared in the year of February 27, 1486. I've written a few notes today just because my brain is getting old and my memory is lagging, so forgive me if sometimes I look down to look at my notes. So it's described that when Chaitanya Mahāprabhu appeared, of course, it was the occasion of an eclipse. And you, of course, being all from this pious land of Bharat Bhumi, you know that the eclipse generally signifies some inauspicious event. So people were in the river Ganges. Half submerged, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's described that this chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is not to counteract some sinful activity or to ward off some evil omen, but rather Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a prayer to the Supreme Lord for devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord is something beyond pious and impious activities. And the people of Navadvip were chanting the holy name, and during this time, Chaitanya Mahāprabhu made his appearance in the house of his parents, of course, Nilambara, of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. And he appeared under a neem tree. Therefore, he is known as Nimai. So there's Nimai. As a child, he very quickly mastered the Sanskrit language and became very expert and erudite in presenting the conclusions of the Vedas, so much so that he was able to defeat many great pundits who came to visit Navadvip. Navadvip, of course, at that time was known as the seat of great learning. And the highest profession, as I was saying yesterday in class to some devotees, at that time in India was to practice nyaya, or logic, a logician. A bit like nowadays, you could say a perverted reflection like a lawyer. So this nyaya, or this argument on the basis of logic, was the way that people would make their living. And some great pundits, they visited Navadvip, and Chaitanya Mahāprabhu debated with them. Many of them became his followers. And in this way he became known as Nimai Pandit. So pandit, of course, generally in the material sense is accepted as a learned person. Although in one lecture, Śrīla Prabhupāda extensively goes on to explain that a pandit is nothing to do with material, but pandit means samadarshina, pandita samadarshina. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva svabhake cha pandita samadarshina. Especially he was talking about one person here in India whose name started with N and his name ended in pandit. who was a prime minister here in India. And Prabhupada talks about him and says he was, although he had this title, he was not a pundit, because he did not know how to see with equal vision, which means to see on the platform of the soul. The soul is eternal, has nothing to do with this temporary material body, and a pundit is a person who can understand that and act on that platform. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course we know he went to the holy place Gaya on the pretext of performing Shraddha on the occasion of his father's death. And there he received Vaishnava initiation from Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri, disciple of Madhavendra Puri, had been blessed by Madhavendra Puri. And Srila Prabhupada says the best servant can become the best master. So Ishwarapuri had faithfully served Madhavendra Puri at the last moment of his death, and he'd received a blessing from his spiritual master. So he also was able to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so-called, as his disciple. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself, and he doesn't need to take initiation from anybody. But just to set the example that every civilized man is supposed to have a spiritual master. Every civilized man is supposed to have a spiritual master. Sometimes people think that, no, I will just accept Vyasadeva as my guru. Or I will accept Krishna himself as my guru. I don't need a guru. But an interesting thing that Shrutakirti Prabhu told me recently, for those of you that don't know, Shrutakirti Prabhu was Srila Prabhupada's servant for many years. So I sent him to China to preach in one of our centers in Guangzhou, in Canton. And there was some group of people who tried to argue with him that they could accept Srila Prabhupada directly as their guru. So he pointed out that Prabhupada himself had personally told him that you may try to accept me as a guru, but unless I accept you as a disciple, you will not be my disciple. In other words, one requires the blessings of the guru to also be accepted as a disciple. And he said, for that you need a living guru. Without a living guru, you cannot accept initiation. Unless there are some very, very special circumstances. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. There he accepted the shelter of Ishwarapuri. And it's described that from that point on, he lost all his interest in material knowledge, in logic and argument and debate. And he came back to his hometown singing and dancing the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So of course the people of his village, they thought, oh, what has happened to Nimai Pandit? He has become possessed. Somehow he's just always chanting, and he's not doing his household duties anymore. He's become like a madman. I remember the first time I went home to my parents and I told them, now I've become a Hare Krishna devotee. Oh, no! Can't you just go to church on Sundays? Maybe your parents also had some great hopes and dreams for you. When they heard that you have become a Hare Krishna devotee, they thought, can't you wait till you get a little older? Can't you wait till you have become married and had a family and made lots of money, and then when you are 79 years old, you're just about to die, then you can chant Hare Krishna. I remember also thinking, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll chant Hare Krishna and I'll just enjoy. But it doesn't quite work like that. Krishna has a plan for everybody. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this chanting, he became very attractive. And many people in his village, they joined together with him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very famous for his nocturnal kirtan. And we know some of the local neighbors, they complained to the Chandkazi of that place. And they said, this Nimai Pandit, he is keeping us awake all night. They're wailing away. Hare Krishna. They're chanting and we cannot sleep. He's interrupting our sleep. So you please do something about that. So we know Chandkazi sent his men. They broke that mridanga. So it was great commotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he organized great civil disobedience. And he had some discourse with the Chandkazi and explained to him the perfection of chanting the holy names. So this Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been going on in this way all over the world. And in this way, many, many people have become attracted to this Hare Krishna movement. So it's described that when he was 24 years old, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he shaved his head. He gave up his grihastha vesha. And he accepted sannyas initiation from Keshava Bharati. And in this way he became a dedicated preacher and traveled for the next 6 years. Shishi Gonitai Kijai, Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari Kijai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over. And you can read about this in the Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This Madhya Leela is the most voluminous part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, although it only covers 6 years of his life. In one sense, you could say it is the most important thing for the preachers to understand all the different arguments that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed in his preaching. If you want to become a good preacher, you should read and study these six years of Lord Chaitanya's travels. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this time also initiated some of his great disciples, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and he sent them to Vrindavan to uncover the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. At that time, 500 years ago, Vrindavan had become covered by the jungle. And nobody knew practically where the holy places of Krishna's pastimes were anymore. Nowadays, we go to Vrindavan, and we see the temple, and we go on parikrama, and we go to Varshana, and we see all these nice places, and we think, oh, very nice. Well, this is very nice. Just like you may come to Mumbai temple and you may think, oh, what a nice temple. You travel all over the world and you see, oh, many nice temples. But all of this came about by some hard work, by those who pioneered this Krishna consciousness. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they pioneered. They went to these places and with research and erudite study, and deep devotion, they uncovered places such as Radhakund, Shamakund, which had fallen into disarray. And they again established the glory of Vrindavan through this establishment of these holy places and through writing transcendental literature explaining the pastimes of Krishna during this time in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he traveled from his place in Navadvip through all the way to South India. On the way he met many great scholars, met Ramananda Roy also, became his disciple. And this way he gathered together, you could say, his core team of preachers through whom he developed the philosophy, well, not developed, but he propounded the philosophy of Achincha Beta Beta Tattva, of simultaneously one yet different. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after this tour, of course he traveled a few different other places, but he spent most of the remaining time of his life in Jagannath Puri, observing the annual Rath Yatra festival, and every year taking the association of the devotees from Bengal who would come to visit him there. And gradually he was sinking more into the mellows of Radha Krishna service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would transform whoever he came into contact with into a devotee, an ardent lover of Krishna. And whoever those people met, they also became a lover of Krishna. And in this way, it is described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flooded the whole world with Krishna prema. It's hard to imagine the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in giving Krishna consciousness so freely. Srila Prabhupada writes that when Lord Krishna came, he first asked people to surrender. Sarva damam parijaja mamikam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavibhyo mukshayishma suchaha. He wanted that people first of all surrender. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has such a munificent personality that it didn't matter who you were, what you did. He gave love of Krishna freely. And therefore he is considered to the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaura Tushe Namaha. This Mahavadanyaya, this mercy is very special. So special that even people in the Western countries who'd never heard of Krishna, then when Prabhupada came in 1966, on the order of his spiritual master, actually 1965, when he came to the West, he very tolerantly preached Krishna consciousness despite so many obstacles and so many crazy people. I've just finished reading Mukunda Maharaj's new book, and in there he describes what it was like during those days and how tolerant Srila Prabhupada was, how he attended in San Francisco the mantra rock dance. Can you imagine in the past history of Vaishnavism that the great Mahabhagavat Acharya would attend a rock concert? Heavy metal, marijuana, intoxication, wild hippies. But Srila Prabhupada, he attended, and he didn't just attend, but he introduced the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and he danced in ecstasy in front of thousands and thousands of people. Where do we find anything in the history of Vaishnavism, or for that matter, spirituality at all, that great acharyas have ever done such a thing, that they've shown such mercy to fallen conditioned souls? So Srila Prabhupada, he understood what was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was patita pavana. He was giving his mercy freely. And as servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is our duty to also go and give Krishna's mercy. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. That is the mission of the ISKCON movement, of the Hare Krishna movement. There are two types of spiritual persons, the Bhajananandi and the Goshtiyanandi. One, he's satisfied just to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a solitary place for his own benefit, more or less. Of course, he's also doing seva for Krishna. But the other one, Goshtiyanandi, he's prepared to travel at great risk, personal inconvenience, all over the universe. Narada Muni, Prabhu was singing that song about Narada Muni very nicely before. Narada Muni, he travels all over the universe chanting on his Veena, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What a great service. When I became a devotee, I said, well, the devotee said, why don't you become Hare Krishna? I said, well, you know, I've got a few desires and, you know, I want to travel a bit, I said, I want to travel around the world a little bit first, you know. People from Australia, they're a little bit isolated, if you know what I mean. They're down under. So they always have this dream, get their backpack on and travel around the world first for a few years before they go and study and get a job and sink into Maya. So I said to the devotees, you know, I've got to travel around a little bit first. So the devotee said, don't worry. Don't worry. If you become a Hare Krishna, we'll bless you. You'll travel all over the world. You're going to travel to more places than you could ever think of. So I said, really? And they said, yes. So somehow, by the blessings of the devotees, in traveling around preaching Krishna consciousness now, I've traveled to more than 80 countries around the world. And I have to say that everywhere I go, people are interested. There are devotees in every far corner of this world, just waiting to be picked up. They're just waiting. Recently, I was in one place in Mongolia, and one girl was traveling with me, who was the wife of one of my godbrothers. And I said to her, she was traveling as a translator, and I said to her, I said, so tell me a bit about your life. Tell me where you're from and what is your background. So she said, oh Prabhu, I come from a very fallen family. I said, what is that? I said, so do I, you know, tell me more. I said, you know, she says, no, I come from the plains of Mongolia. Just there's only grass and we just live in these huts and we're just herding the yaks. She said, as far as the eye can see, there are no trees. And I said, how did you meet the devotees? She said, somehow, some friend of mine went to a big city and got a book. And she gave me that book. Higher taste. She said, and I became a vegetarian. And in China, to become a vegetarian is practically impossible. Unless you want to eat the grass that the yaks are eating. So somehow became a devotee, started to chant Hare Krishna, learned English, and now is also a very good preacher. So I thought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can reach into the far reaches of the never never. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had that vision, wherever you go, whoever you see, preach about Krishna. That is the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is why Srila Prabhupada established this worship of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, he said that before you can worship Radha and Krishna, you must worship Lord Chaitanya first. If you try to worship Krishna before having worshipped Radha and Krishna, it is demoniac. You will not understand what is the real meaning of being a devotee. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that in a lecture here in Bombay. I was listening this morning. Prabhupada, final days, he gave one lecture here in Bombay. It's a famous lecture because in that lecture, one man, he asked, how can I see God? Have you heard that lecture? The man says, how can I see God? And Prabhupada says, you can hear him. He says, no, I want to see him. And Prabhupada said, just hear him. There's some shouting going on in the class. It's right here in Bombay. So to see God means to hear Him, means to hear His holy name. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread, this chanting. With your eyes, what do you see? If I take off my glasses, I can't see anything. I'm completely blind. But you can hear. You can hear the chanting of the holy name. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very special because there are many incarnations of the Lord. And many of these are predicted also in the Vedic scriptures. So sometimes people wonder, what about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How do I know about him? Well, there's a famous verse. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangupangas Tapashatayam Jagai Sankirtana Praye Jayantihi Sumedasaha. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna. He's not blackish, but he's golden. He's golden. And he comes not with his weapons, but he comes with a holy name. To destroy the demoniac mentality of the people of this age at Kali. So I found some verses in different scriptures which also corroborate this fact. So don't mind, I will read them. This one was in the Atharva Veda, and it says, Itoham krita sanyaso vatarishyami. So it says there, I will descend as a sannyasi, a tall, fair, and saintly Brahmana devotee. After 4,000 to 5,000 years of Kali Yuga have passed, I will appear on earth near the Ganges shore, and with all the signs of an exalted person free from material desires, I will always chant the holy names of the Lord, and thus taste the sweetness of my own devotional service. Only other advanced devotees will understand me. Then in the Samaveda, it says, Trataham krita sanyaso, Bhu Girvana Avatarishye, which basically says a very similar thing. Then in the Mundaka Upanishad, it says, when one realizes the golden form of Lord Gauranga, who is the ultimate actor and the source of the Supreme Brahman, he attains the highest knowledge. He transcends both pious and impious activities, becomes free from worldly bondage, and enters the divine abode of the Lord. Then there's another one in the Bhavishya Purana. Ajayadvam maja yadvam nasansaya kalo sankirtana rambe bhavishyami sachi sutta. Supreme Lord says there, in Kali Yuga I will appear as the son of Sachi and inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. There's no doubt about this. So there are many other quotes that I have here, which you can welcome to get later on. Also in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there's a in the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, verse 127, 92, 75, there's a quote confirming that Lord Krishna is non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it says that the Supreme Lord has a golden complexion. His entire body, which is very nicely constituted, is like molten gold. Sandalwood is pulp is smeared all over his body. His body will take the fourth order of life, and he will be very self-controlled. He will be distinguished from Mayavadi sannyasis, and that he will be fixed in devotional service and will propagate the Sankirtan movement. So there are many, many, many verses. And in the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj goes to great lengths to explain the philosophical basis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, of course, didn't say that he was God. He always said that I'm a devotee of God. And that is also what a devotee says, that yes, we are servants of the servants of the servants of God. Gopi Bhata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to present this idea of servitorship. Even in the material world, if you can give great service to mankind, you are glorified. What to speak of giving great service for the spiritual upliftment of humanity at large. And this ISKCON movement, Prabhupada said, will one day become known for having saved the whole world, for having saved humanity in its hour of greatest need. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in closing, I'll say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write many books. As a matter of fact, he really only composed 8 famous verses, Sri Shikshastakam. But in these 8 verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can find the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. 8 succinct verses. So if we want to understand Lord Chaitanya, we should meditate and recite these verses on a daily basis and pray to the deities of Shishigoni Thai to please help us in spreading this Krishna consciousness all over the world. And in this way, we will get the mercy of all the predecessor acharyas, and we will be able to remember the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Shri Radha and Krishna at the end of the life. As it's described, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajayanti tam kalivaram tam tam ivaiti kuntaya siddhata bhavabhavita. However, there's a disclaimer in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada says that sometimes a devotee may work so hard, sometimes he may not even remember. He's working very hard for Krishna. Prabhupada says he may dedicate his whole life to Krishna, but by some means he may not remember Krishna even at the time of death. So he said, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and help you remember him. That is the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You just dedicate this one lifetime for the service of preaching Krishna consciousness. Guaranteed you'll go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada ki, Sisi Goni Thai ki, go Premanandi. Are there some questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned in the beginning that Chaitanya Charitamrita is the most authorized biography. Of course, there are other biographies, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal. Could you comment about the relative...
Of course, Krishna's Kaviraj Maharaj, he didn't feel himself worthy to write such a great epic. Let's call it an epic. But, of course, he had some divine intervention, you could say. And he also received the blessings of the Vaishnavas to complete this work. He received the blessings of the deities in Vrindavan. And he received the authorized notes of those who had been with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srupa Damodar, his notes that he kept the secretary. So, in that sense, it is authorized because it was taken directly from first source literature. And as much as, you know, when somebody writes a PhD, they're supposed to write it, you know, from direct research. And it covers the essential points of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And I would say that because of that point, it is the most authorized. It doesn't, although it gives the pastimes, it also explains more than just the pastimes, it also explains the philosophical reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and what were the emotions that he was experiencing in his preaching and when he exhibited this prema pumartama, this highest form of love of God. So for those reasons, it is considered. You want to add something?
No, thank you. You were going in the beginning of the pastimes, you know, after the birth, and then, of course, Lord Chaitanya was a precocious young child also.
Yes.
And did things like splash water on Brahmins while they were in the Ganges and stuff like that. And you know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, and usually we think, well, we have to respect the Brahmins and stuff. We have that prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahman Hitaya Chano. So was Lord Chaitanya's splashing water, say, on the Brahmins, did that have any instructive part, would you say? I don't know.
I have read something that Lord Chaitanya... Yeah, you want to comment something on this? Huh? Because I'll be speculating. Maybe you can say something authorized.
I want to ask the next question so you can...
Oh, okay, I'll finish this one then. You know, in about a week's time is also holy. And, you know, one thing is that the kids nowadays, even here in Mumbai, they run around throwing water balloons at people. And sometimes people get very upset by that. So, A, there's a mischievous nature to the Supreme Personality of Godhead also. They say that mischievousness is also a sign of great intelligence. So for those parents that have, you know, naughty children, don't worry. Apparently it's a sign of great intelligence. In terms of splashing water on them, I mean, they should have considered themselves to be supremely blessed for the Supreme Lord to have enacted such a pastime with them. But I have read that there is some esoteric meaning to this as well, but I honestly can't remember. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, with reference to this statement that if somebody does not worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu...
I'm sorry?
If somebody does not worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but only worships Krishna, then it's demonic.
Yes.
So we have these four sampradayas. The other three sampradayas who are not Gaudiyas, they don't follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's worship. But they do worship and they are part of sampradaya, bona fide
yes.
regulation. So how do we understand this? Are they demonic or...
Of course, they're authorized. But generally speaking, they're worshipping the Lord in this Aishwarya Bhav. My understanding was always the reference to worshipping Radha and Krishna was an intimate mood of Vrindavan. In other words, if somebody's worshipping the Lord in that Vishnu mode, that worship of Lakshmi Narayan, which is what the other sampradayas generally do, that is not what Prabhupada was referring to. He was referring to trying to worship or approach Krishna in that mood of Krishna and Vrindavan with the gopis, like that. And therefore, we should approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first to understand what is the proper mood of servitorship to Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any other questions? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! Go to Premanandi! Hey.